Time for another Zoomer on the Midweek Drive for Siren Radio and southsidebroadcasting.podbeam.com, keeping the COVID-19 bugs at bay.
Well, it's almost as though we're having to do inverse proportionality to negativity in the world. And when you actually have a line which comes from our BBC New York correspondent, which says, the night American democracy hit rock bottom, talking about the presidential debate, we figured the only way forward to actually restore America's standing in the world is to have a triple whammy of excellent, wonderful American folk, starting off with the awesomeness that is Jean Bruce Scott. How are you, Jean?
Hi, Alex. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Always a delight and a genuine pleasure. And indeed, I can actually demonstrate that if you are stuck for something to watch in lockdown, get a box set of the full first three seasons of Airwolf. That will keep you entertained. That's absolutely essential to actually guide through all sorts of wonderful things. We've also got that ace photographer and superb director who moved from New York to California, is in Los Angeles, actually normally based in Griffith Park, but is currently working on a new zombie apocalypse academic zone. It's Ilana Rain. How are you, Ilana?
Hi, Alex. And hi, Jess and Jean. Great to see you both.
Exactly. And Jessica, of course, in the socially distanced world of higher education these days, at Boone in North Carolina, wearing her face mask. Very sensible, Jess. Absolutely right.
Thank you.
actually, Jessica, are you still hopeful that you're going to be able to attend Ilana's online zombie apocalypse event?
Yes, I still very much do want to. I would love to. I got to pencil it into my calendar.
Great. Well, registration's open, and perhaps, Alex, your university could sponsor some people, some students.
Ilana, I'd love to, but if you saw the latest sort of lines we'd had in terms of what the budgets are for this year, you would laugh. Honestly, you would laugh. I mean, it's unbelievable, but still, never mind. We will see how things transpire. I could only raise the issue, but at the same time, you know, finance? What's that then these days? Do you not know we've got COVID-19 on? Step away from that. Jean, I'll come to you initially because, of course, you stepped aside. I mean, this is a shock revelation on the last Zoomer that you did with yourself and Randy. After founding Native Voices, etc., you've stepped aside from that point of view. Is this a case of, well, now you feel it's in safe hands? Delana can actually cope with the whole thing? Or is it a case of you thinking, there are a whole new range of things I want to get involved with?
Well, it's a combination of both. Delana is an outstanding artist, theater artist, film artist, television. She's just all around great. She also has new contacts. We were doing it. I did it for 26 years. Randy just retired. He did it for 27 years. So it's time for new blood. So we're excited about that and all of their upcoming events and readings. We've got a reading coming up November, I think it's 14th and 15th of our short play festival, which will all be socially distanced online because of COVID. But then we have some new projects that we're working on. So a couple things, of course, got canceled due to COVID. We're hoping that they'll be rescheduled. We had a play going to the National Museum of the American Indian called Pure Native, and it's on hold. So we're hoping that's going to come back, and I'm working on some writing. I'm considering a Hollywood memoir.
Yay!
Scares the heck out of me, but many Airwolf fans and Magnum fans have.
And St. Elsewhere fans and Days of Our Lives fans.
I mean, There you go.
Huge.
I'll tell you, yes. Yeah,
that would be such a wonderful perspective to get from you, considering how many shows you've been in and also just the pivot, you know, towards theater. Because I did some reading on your work with the Theater Guild and all that. So, you know, it's what a great perspective, you know, just to get to the roots of acting. And I don't know, I mean, I find that, like, in my experience, you know, working with my actors on Perception, my feature, and you know, and all the actors, we really wanted to work with people who were classically trained and who understood acting as, you know, their calling, not as a vehicle to get famous. And And that was just really important to me. And my co-writer and co-producer, he's from Broadway. He was a producer on Kinky Boots. So, we built in time for rehearsals, and just working with actors was such it was such a privilege, and it was so much fun, and they appreciated how seriously we took them. So hearing your thoughts on Hollywood and mainstream business compared to theater, I think that would just be fascinating.
You've got to do it, Jean. Ilana has spoken. You must do it. It's essential. You've got
Alana
to
has
do
spoken. Yes, there we go. I'll go at it.
That's the critical line. We'll open it up to discussion in a few moments, but I thought you might like to actually hear what some of our European neighbours made of the Trump-Biden piece. I mean, it may have actually emerged over there, but it's quite a Germany, Der Spiegel, actually called it a television duel like a car accident. I'm not sure whether they're referring to the Steven Spielberg movie Duel, but again, that was their particular line there. La Repubblica, that's Italy's United States correspondent, writing, never had American politics sunk so low. And for Italy to say that, that's pushing it. And France, of course, a terrible storm. But storms might pass.
But
You
none of
can't.
them are blaming Trump, where, I mean, he was the one that interrupted over 70 times. It seems a little unfair to say it was both of their faults for this.
I mean, I think the line that we actually got in terms of this was it wasn't great. We talked about this, say, on an earlier Zoomer. Let's go to the youngest, first of all, Jessica, because I know we spoke briefly about what you made of the whole thing. You watched it the day afterwards. Has it kind of improved with age, or is it a case of bring on number two?
Actually, my friend and I were discussing it today just a few minutes ago. She was saying that they're going to have new regulations for this next debate upcoming. And yeah, I think that's very necessary. I think that, at the beginning when I was watching it, I had heard what people had said about the debate. And I was like, oh, well, it seems cordial so far. They're letting each other speak. And then apparently, like 15 minutes in, it just went downhill and kept getting worse. And I'm really hoping the next debate will be a bit more civil and coherent because I think at this point, most Americans are just embarrassed that the rest of the world has to see this happening
Well,
because we don't want it
the British line, and we can't cast stones because we've got our
either.
problems. So I'll hold that up right at the start. The Guardian described it as a national humiliation. The Times actually wrote that the clearest loser from the first presidential debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden was America. And then it said that the event was not a debate in any meaningful sense, but rather an ill-tempered and at times incomprehensible squabble between two angry septuagenarians who palpably loathe each other. Jean,
Oh, Alex,
why
you
aren't
knew
you
to come.
standing? Why aren't you running? Why aren't Randy and yourself? I mean, good grief, it's unbelievable.
Where I'm writing postcards and I'm, doing the best I can on social media and all that kind of business. But here's the thing. People are saying that, democracy died, last 2 nights ago or whatever. Democracy died when Trump actually ran for president and beat out those other candidates that were so much more prepared for the office than he was. And then when he won due to the Electoral College and not the popular vote, that's when democracy started this long, slow 4-year death. It is vital, it is absolutely vital that this man be voted out of office and that someone who has a 47-year track record working on both sides of the aisle to do good things. Obviously, there are missteps along the way, but who wouldn't have a misstep in 47 years of a career? But bring this other gentleman in as our president and restore both our democracy, bring, get the CDC back online and make sure that we can stop these COVID deaths in the United States. Bring back climate change restrictions and regulations back online. It is vital. So I would just say anybody who's crying right now about democracy dying or being dead is very late to the party. And they should be out there marching in the streets to say, vote for Joe Biden.
Strong words, Jean, and I think we empathize with them. Ilana, are you going to throw a complete googly at us, to use a cricketing term? It's like baseball but slower. And Ilana, will you turn around and say, actually, no, I've suddenly started thinking we need to go elsewhere.
Oh my. No. I wholeheartedly agree 100% with what Jean just said. Here's the thing. I think we have to pay attention. We have to keep paying attention. And I think it's the easy way out to say, I'm going to leave. I'm going to flee. First of all, only certain select group of people with certain means would be able to actually relocate to another country, leaving the vast majority of Americans who probably would be persecuted the most if we turned full authoritarian to stay and suffer. And why should we surrender our beautiful country? Why should we surrender, this incredible democratic experiment to people who see violence and hatred and bigotry as the way they want America to be? I refuse to surrender this country to that. So no, I'm not making any plans to leave. As
Well,
much as I fantasize about it, sure, it'd be great to go just chill out in Tahiti for, 6 months, but no plans. We have to, speak. We have to make sure that he's not allowed to determine who wins this vote. In fact, he's not. If Biden wins by one vote, he wins. There's nothing to debate about it. He will leave.
I'm afraid, though, that with what's been said, especially for the past 6 months, that there is going to be a power grab. And the most recent news in the New York Times today was saying that he was saying he wanted to change the term limits for the president, and that maybe he would serve 8, 12, or 16 years. And that kind of thing is just absolutely terrifying. But I agree, Elena. I was actually contemplating moving to either Ireland or Scotland in a
Right.
couple of years when I retired. And now it's like you said, I don't want to leave until we see this straight.
Exactly. And here's the thing. I think Trump knows that it would actually be bad for his brand to fight this. This way he can just leave. He wants to start his own TV show. He can leave, claim it was a hoax, claim it was rigged, claim it, be the victim. But to actually have, to fight it out, I think that would be bad for his brand. And he ultimately is all about his brand. So.
That takes a brain, he's gotta understand that.
That's
In
true.
his mind, I know that he, or I know, in his mind, from what I've seen of him in the last 30 years, he thinks he's invincible. That statement that he made when he was running for office, that he could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot someone and no one would do anything about it, was very telling. And that's the frightening part. So yes, and we also I wanted to say we need to win by more than one vote because the popular vote is not going to decide this. It's the Electoral College. So those of you who are in listening from America, if you're in one of those states that is a Trump state and you don't want Trump, please vote. Get out and vote because the Electoral College is going to be deciding who gets those electoral votes.
We need massive turnout, and I am encouraged by the early voting, say in Virginia, and some of the stuff that are, and it's way, way up. And I do agree, massive, massive turnout. But he's trying to pretend the rules don't apply to him, and I guess for the past 4 years they sort of haven't, because the senators that enable him.
For the last few years, nobody's called him out on his lies. He goes on shows and nobody says to him, "I'm sorry, Mr. President, that is an outright lie. Here's the data. This is what it is."
Perhaps, Gene, because he's so smart, you see, that actually there's no point challenging his smartness. Jessica, it's going to be your first election as a voter. You've been listening to obviously Gene and Ilana there. We've spoken from that point of view. What's the vibe on the undergraduate and the new voters' perspective?
I do think quite a lot of us find it a little, not quite daunting, but if for most of us it's our first time voting. We were about 17 when the 2016 election happened, so we kind of had to sit back and let everyone older than us decide for us what was going to happen. And so I think that now it's something that we've been watching for years and that we know is going to impact our future for the next 4 years. So there's been quite a lot of campaigning on campus. Every day I get asked if I'm registered to vote in my county, and I am. So it's a big push to get students involved in voting. And there's been polling booths that are going to be on campus, and everyone's kind of saying that they're going to vote. There's a very, very big push among younger people around my age to vote. It's especially on social media, you see a lot of people posting things about just encouragement to go vote and actually be part of democracy, because I don't know, it's easy to say that I hate, maybe I'm a bit cynical. I don't tend to trust either politician. I think that whenever someone says that they want power, it makes me distrust them a little bit. But I think that, you know, we know that we have to do something. Just to sit back and say that we don't want to vote is kind of just to give in, and that's not really acceptable at this point.
It's an interesting line from Die Welt, again, another German newspaper, who say that Mr. Biden, in contrast, was not an exciting candidate, but at least someone with common sense and a stable personality who would bring something like normalcy back to the White House. And maybe actually that's what the world needs now. Just, you know, not necessarily an exciting, dynamic character, but somebody who basically can at least give a certain stability to the situation. But I can't vote. I'm not there. We just have to work on that. We have to deal with the consequences. So there we are.
I think that our president, quite frankly, I think people misunderstand what the role of the president is because of this last administration. The role of the president is not to be the ultimate power. The role of the president is to bring together all of the different arms of the government and say, what is the best we can do at this moment for the American people? And he's not even an arbitrator. I mean, he's supposed to bring Democrats and Republicans and independents and the Green Party all into his office and have a conversation about what's going to happen next. And that way, people can become informed. But that hasn't happened.
Almost back to the days, I'm not sure that it was Benjamin Franklin or indeed Washington himself who said that the last person you want is somebody to be president of the United States is somebody who actually wants to be president of the United States.
That's right.
Let's move away from politics. Let's move into zombies. Ilana, would you like to tell us what exactly is happening with this online event that you're putting together, which has got ZED all lined up in front of us?
Yes. Happily. So we're about 2 weeks out from the conference called the Zombie Apocalypse Medicine Meeting. It's the second conference. It's sponsored by ASU, Arizona State University, and it's run by Athena Actopus, who's a professor there and a lover of zombies. So what that is, it's an interdisciplinary conference of academics and artists and filmmakers who explore culture and current events through the lens of zombies and a zombie apocalypse. So what we've done is, because it's everything's going to be remote this year, Athena wanted to start a online platform called Channel Z. And what it is it's a web series, TV series of different TV shows dealing with the zombie apocalypse. And we float in and out through, fiction and reality. Obviously, COVID is our own apocalypse that we're dealing with. So it's, incredibly relevant. And we have a whole bunch of shows like the Go Bag Challenge, which is about what you need to pack in case of a zombie apocalypse. There's Dr. Zed, who is an actual doctor, and he's a wilderness medicine expert. And he talks about, how to recover from a zombie bite. But in addition to, that would be sort of also talking about a snake bite, using zombies again as a proxy for real stuff. So the show I'm directing all of these shows, and I'm also a co-host on Brain Dead Theater, which is a show where we analyze zombie films and talk to other filmmakers about their favorite clips. And I've never really I don't really enjoy horror movies, but the zombie genre has always been the one genre I can actually enjoy and tolerate of that the subsection of horror. So I find it just really fun to be with a bunch of cool academic nerds and lovers of sci-fi, and that's what we're doing.
I love the line "brain dead" that's actually coming through, proving that Jean Bruce Scott can multitask as well from that point of view. I'm looking at "Eat, Pray, Run," as in Prey. Eat, Pray,
That's
Run.
our cooking show. So, for instance, on the cooking show, Athena, who's our main producer, this is her brainchild, so to speak, the whole conference. She has been fermenting for years and fermenting yeast, and she makes her own yogurt. So, like a show would be like how to survive if all the supermarkets have are, three ingredients, or like how to make your own bread without yeast. And, again, in the beginning of this crisis, I don't know about you, Jean, but, we were having some shortages of certain foods here in California. And,
And toilet roll, of course. Toilet
well,
roll
there's
was in short
that.
supply.
Yeah, so, it's just incredibly timely, but, we're keeping a sense of humor about it as much as one can. But we do also delve right into real issues. Like one thing I brought up the other day on I think it was Late Night Brains. We talked about I wanted people to talk about the idea that there's some people who are denying the zombie apocalypse. They're denying that zombies exist. And what is that? That's about people who are denying that COVID's a problem, or it's a hoax, or they don't believe in doing the one thing that could actually save themselves from infection, which is wear a mask. It's pretty interesting stuff, how related it really is to what we're actually experiencing.
It's interesting when I've shared this with some of our other writers across the ether. There's a line from people who've been really into it, and then others have thought, "Not another zombie movie." I always liked the series iZombie. I don't know if ever anybody actually saw iZombie. I felt it was a nice little take on the whole sort of aspect. But what the hey? As I say, ultimately, nothing can beat working your way through all 3 seasons of Airwolf, which doesn't actually have any zombies in it at all, as far as I'm aware. Even though some of the guest stars maybe might have been confused at the time when they were on the show. What the hey? No names, no pack. Drill. That's the important thing. Jessica, any questions you'd like to put to Jean or Ilana, who of course is going into full throttle on this as far as zombies are concerned? Keywords according to IMDb: zombie apocalypse, technology, web series, news entertainment, wilderness medicine, and of course the whole notion of those wonderful titles: Go Bag Challenge, The Dr. Zed Show, Late Night Brains, Undead Theater, and Eat, Pray, Run.
So excited. It's like Halloween already. Now we can talk about this when October's begun. So I guess for both of you, Jean and Ilana, I would actually, on a more positive note, want to ask you, what's kind of been keeping your spirits up right now during quarantine at the beginning of October? What's kind of keeping you going and excited?
We're working on some shows. Randy's got a couple of shows that he's one he's directing and one he's producing. And then we've got this short play festival coming up. So that occupies our time and keeps us happy. We got a puppy last year,
Oh my
and
goodness.
he's about a year old. He's still very much a puppy, big old golden retriever, rowdy boy. And now we're looking for a companion for him. So I've been looking at the shelters and trying to find. We're looking for a little dog that can be his companion, and they can roust about in the backyard. So that's keeping my spirits up. I'd say animals. I also have a kitty cat that's 17 years old. That just keeps hanging on. She's a trooper. So animals and work, that keeps me going.
Jean, this is a whole new field we need to explore in future Zoomies. Obviously, the menagerie of Randy and Jean. I think it's going to happen. It's great. And Ilana, is it a case of no? If it's not got zombies in it, that's it. My spirits sink.
No. I have to run away from the zombie thing sometime because it is a little too real. But wow, Jean, I'd say Yeah, the animals. I've got two dogs and rescue, and one's a rescue, one's a sort of semi-rescue. But yes, I find myself sometimes just staring into the eyes of my dogs and holding them, and I feel like genuinely that is time well spent. Just it slows my heart rate down. It actually it they've done studies where it calms the dog down too when you make eye contact and you touch them. So that I find like really connecting. I do find my work does help, especially if it seems to be moving things forward positively and culturally. But I don't know, just like keeping time intervals small. I think that's been my big challenge. While we have to look towards the future, and obviously, 30 days till the most important election ever, I try to not future trip, and I try to keep things in the moment, in the day, slow it down, and be grateful for that. Otherwise, it's just, and then those moments build upon one another.
And of course, bear in mind, Ilana, that there are many cosmologists who would say that the election has already happened, and so we're coping with the life as it is, really. This is the whole system. It's all going to work out well in the end. Nice turnaround, Jean. I mean, I'm really impressed with this because there are many people who actually find it difficult just to do the Zoom thing. You're typing in sections into the group. It's great. It's genius. So, Jessica, I'll let you answer. How are you keeping sane? Is it a case of your studies help? And of course, the wonderful Stark corridors of my university.
Oh, yes, I love wandering around the university. Me and my friend, actually, we've been taking quite a lot of walks at night, and there's a graveyard on our campus, and sounds a
It's
little
like
morbid,
Huckleberry Finn all over again.
but
You'll have Ted Cassidy characters coming after you.
it's actually been like it's actually very tranquil. We go there at night when we can't sleep, and we'll kind of just like try to find the oldest graves that we can. It's from the 1800s, which probably, Alex, I think to you probably doesn't sound that old, but over here graveyards are very recent. So and the other day I was in there during the daytime, and there were all these like crows just sitting in there, and it was sunny out, and I don't know, it was very peaceful. It's strange during this time when everything's kind of life or death that I don't know, you can find some medium that makes it less scary.
Jessica Burtis, clearly the vampire slayer of a midweek drive. This is a series needs to be written from that point of view. I mean, I've just been marking dissertations, really, and hopefully getting my head around how to effectively sort of deliver stuff online in a blended way, and fingers crossed it'll actually work, and coping with technology when it's not working. Exactly, Jean. It's amazing, but we're working through that. That's the important thing. Heading onwards from that point of view, Jean, how can people stay in touch with Native Voices? Because we talked about it at the start of it, let's sort of begin to wrap up with this. In terms of obviously the new era, and I noticed that Goliath is just one of the TV shows that has benefited from Delana's presence. Hopefully, she'll join us on one of these in the not too distant future. We'll liaise. Was it something I typed? I don't know. She seemed to be in contact and then she seems to have vanished. But how can people get in touch with Native Voices?
If they just type in online Native Voices at the Autry, and something will come up, and it will typically take you to either our Facebook page, which has all of the websites, Instagram, and all of that, or it will take you to the Autry site itself. That takes a little bit searching on the site, so you want to, kind of spend a little minute in there to find us. But we've got two places that you can get information.
It's worthwhile. And actually, Jessica, to answer your question, there are Native Americans who say, "What is this 1800s old?" I can take you back to Native American burial grounds. They go way back. That has Jessica never seen Amityville Horror? I mean, for goodness sakes,
Fair
Lord.
enough.
Adelana Channel Z, best way forward. Obviously, you can go onto IMDb website ways to get in touch
Yeah,
with them.
it's channelz.org. I'll put it in. I'm sorry, hold on. Let me just say channelz.org. Yes, it should be.
And
It's
Z, of course, ZED, not.
channelzed.org.
I think I might have talked over you then, Ilana. Would you like to say it one more time?
Oh, sure. It's chanelzed.org, channelzed.org. Exactly. And that has all the programs that we've done already. And then if you want to go to the conference, there should be a link to the conference from there. But if not, go to zombiemed.org. That's zombiemed.org to check out the conference and look at
Exactly. And likewise, Ilana, you've risen to the challenge and have also been typing that in. So it's www.zombiemed.org in terms of other aspects. Oh, you guys are just putting me to shame, really. It's just amazing. I'd also say it's well worth checking out episodes of Bonanza written by Arthur Weingarten, who, of course, is joining us on the show tomorrow. Or astoundingly, I've just actually taken receipt of something which tragically, I don't think, Gene, you've ever starred in, but it's the full 54-disc collection of Little House on the Prairie. What's not to appreciate about that? I mean, you know, it's great. Marvellous. Anyway, it's time, Jessica, for you to ask those last two questions to Jean Bruscott and Ilana Raine. Off you go, Jessica.
Yes. Have you both had a reasonably interesting Zoomer October 1st link with us today?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for including me. It was a pleasure to meet you, Ilana, and a pleasure to see you face-to-face, Jess. Alex, always a pleasure.
Likewise. Thank you. And I'm so happy to have met you, Jean, and great seeing you, Jess and Alex, as well.
Well, it's been awesome. And finishing on a positive note, today actually is officially International Coffee Day. Ooh. So that's as you guys sort of work your way through that, it is actually International Coffee Day. We did a feature earlier this morning, actually, with a coffee expert from New Zealand, Emma Loisel, and interesting lines there. I mean, I'll just do a quick survey, actually, because I did promise to do this. When you're taking coffee, Jean, do you prefer it with milk or without milk?
I actually put a chocolate shake in my coffee.
Right. Yeah. Yum. Interesting.
It gets me going for the morning and it soothes my tummy.
Yeah, that's fine. Ilana, are you a with milk or without milk person, or indeed somewhat off-piste going chocolate shake?
Oh, the chocolate shake sounds great. I just have about 2 cups of coffee a week since I quit, but I do almond milk, but I've pretty much transitioned to tea.
Yeah. Well, again, tea presumably without any cow juice.
No cow juice. No. Right. I mean, I had a real problem with coffee a couple of years ago, so it's getting out of control. I have to just cut back.
It's important. And Jessica, are you a coffee or tea person, or is it a case of no, it's just got to be water?
I do drink water in the morning. I'm not so much a coffee person, but ever since I got back from Lincoln, I've been missing tea. So I broke down and I got some tea for myself, but yeah.
And let's not get started once again on the sweet tea of North Carolina, because again, it might sound great, but it's really not very healthy.
But it's so good. I've had to get up in the morning and chug some sweet tea. Yes, it's amazing. Good.
When we were living in Durham, we drank so much sweet tea. Oh my gosh.
It never gets tiring. It's just amazing.
It's amazing.
And there you have it. Jean Bruscott, Ilana Raine, Jessica Bertus, huge thanks. As I say, happy International Coffee Day. Speak soon. Take care now.
Great. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.